2-1. High drive, left center field, and Brent Rooker starts off the party in the first. It's like you spoke it into existence. 440 feet. Makes it a 2-0 Athletics advantage early.
Beautiful. NBC Sports California, that's Brent Rooker's bomb. My top home run play yesterday, I called it on the show. We took a picture with Jake and the guys, and I moved Ed's mic all the way over to the other side, and he's looking around like, where do I talk? He went to talk.
My mic's gone! Like, where is it? I swear for a second, I had no idea where it was.
The look on his face, he looked like he looked down and his dog came off the leash. Like, where'd it go? Just looking around. Just, come on. And then on top of it, like the Brent Rooker clip there, I guess we should mention. So there is a give and take between Joe and I. Like if I'm telling him what clip I want him to pull or whatever. What did Joe come into the studio and say?
Can I pull anything for you?
Yeah. And I was like, well, since you're asking, I mean, hey.
These are children.
It is so good. But yeah, I said on the show yesterday, I said, Brent Rooker's my top home run play. I love him over 1.5 total bases. Usually if I say I like a guy over 1.5 total bases, I like him to hit a home run because that's how, when I'm grading it out, extra base hits count. Walks don't count for that. But that definitely helped. And then the grand slam late in the game put it over the total. I went 4-1 in my top plays. Hit the Indiana Fever under that we talked about. Hit the hockey under. Remember we're talking about fading the public and everything. This goes back to it. It's perfect. Previous game went over the total. That means this game goes over the total. It went under. Same thing with the hockey game. Previous total went over. What does everybody bet in the second game? Oh, it's got to go over. Went over in the first one. It goes under. And not that it wasn't close. It's just the point of that's not how you gamble. You don't just look and go, well, this is what happened last game, so it has to happen this game.
Yeah, the fever.
Yeah, the sky let me down. That was my lone loss. Angel Reese had 12 rebounds last night. She had 5 rebounds in 20 seconds on 5 missed shots. She's so good at rebounding the ball. I just don't, like, from a basketball standpoint, the same way everybody said, get Shaq's in the Shaq's ass in the gym and make him shoot free throws over and over again. Get her underneath the hoop doing the mic and drill to make some damn layups, man. She misses so many. She's so good, and she misses so many. Anyway. The sky let me down.
Sky, some of we all have a sky.
Well, hey, it's like the Sparks are playing the Valkyrie tonight.
Oh, no. And the Mercury are playing the Aces.
Yeah, and the Storm.
The Wings.
The Dallas
Wings. Dallas Wings.
They got an airport down there, I guess. Is that what
it is? Yeah, they do. DFW, one of the busiest in the country.
All right, let me get into these plays. In the WNBA, I talked about the Sparks and Valkyrie. I like it to go over the 158.5, my top play in the WNBA. I was looking at some other, there's some big favorites, and I'm one of those people that I don't like betting big favorites. I'm not saying I don't. It's the same thing and in baseball with big favorites. Like, I don't like betting guys minus or teams minus 200 because you're losing double anytime you do it. And look, anytime you're betting a team that should win, it doesn't always happen. We see crazy things go on. Hell, yesterday, the Phillies had pounded the Rockies all week long, right?
Yep.
So they come into yesterday's game and they win 2-0. It was 1-0 the whole game. They went 2-0. So you don't know what to expect. The total in that game was 10.5 or 11. And how about the Phillies? You get so fortunate, you're at Coors for 3 games, and then you go to Coors Light for 3 more. Coors Light is the Athletic Stadium. It's the same damn thing. 9.5 there, 10.5 total in Coors, 10.5 there, 11.5 at Coors. Like, these high-ass totals in these stadiums that are just bandboxes. The A's stadium in Sacramento is going to give up so many runs this year. But that was another play we hit. So, again, 4-1 of my top plays, called the Brent Rooker home run. Missed on the Knicks. I told you I was battling back, or not the Knicks, the Thunder under. I was battling back and forth whether or not I wanted to put them in there. I had the Yankees under in my top plays yesterday, took it out, and it still hit 1-0. So, it was an overall really nice day. Now, tonight,
now.
Top play for me, Knicks -6, 5.5, whatever you're finding. I love the Knicks tonight to bounce back. But wait, they lost in the first game, so that means they're going to lose in the second game.
Well, there's that.
I mean, they could lose tonight. I'm not saying that's not a possibility and that it's a foregone conclusion that the Knicks win and cover. I feel better about them bouncing back in game 2. And let's not forget, the people that are betting on the Pacers were down 14 points with 2 minutes left to go. Yeah. Or 3 minutes, whatever it was. They were getting their ass kicked the whole game and got hot for a two-minute stretch or three-minute stretch. And that carried them. So, again, weird things happen, but I think the Knicks pull it out tonight. I like the Sparks and Valkyrie to go over 158.5. I don't have a feel for the NHL game. I think I would lean over, but I'm just not touching it. The money's spread out so evenly. It looks like a virtual, like, pick'em game. And same thing with the total. Like, nothing would surprise me in this game. Low scoring, high scoring, either team wins. I'm staying away from it. So, with the weather today, here's what we're looking at. MLB weather is Nats under, Tigers over, the best spot today. Mets under, Braves under, the other really good spot today. Twins under, Cards under. So, looking at those spots, I think two of them stand out to me, and it's the two that I mentioned. I'm going to be on the Cleveland-Detroit over 8.5. I love the spot here for them. I'm going to go back to the Braves under, even though I know more people are going to be betting the Braves under just because of the potential pitching matchup we have. As I'm looking at it, yeah, San Diego and Atlanta, everybody's betting on the over at 7.5. The pitching matchup, and if you haven't, by the way, if you haven't watched the Padres, they got their asses handed to them. Remember how we were talking about how hot they started off?
Yes, they did.
They've been outscored by, like, what'd they say, 30-some runs over the past whatever games. I think they've lost six in a row now as they're reeling. But with the pitching matchups today, Chris Sale is going for Atlanta. He grades out as the number one pitcher on the slate. For San Diego, we get Nick Pivetta. If you guys watched him, Nick Pivetta can give him up. He can give up the home run and get hit, but he's been as solid as he could be out there in San Diego and loving the fact that he has that big ballpark to pitch in. That's going to be a huge help, but they're in Atlanta, and I've talked about being in Atlanta, even though the weather's supporting an under. They have some jet streams there that could be, you know, great for home runs if you're able to get it there. Both these teams can hit home runs, but I still think the under is a good play at 7.5. Some other spots that I think are really interesting: Miami and the Angels to go under 8.5. That's Sandy Alcantara against Yusei Kikuchi. Sorry, Rob's not here. Kikuchi. with that being said, I do think, again, that's another spot. You might be concerned about Sandy because he hasn't looked like the Sandy of the past. Yep. Everybody was talking about trading for him in the offseason. He's shown some signs, but he's still giving up the long ball. I like the Orioles and Red Sox under 8.5 in game one. And Toronto, Tampa Bay over 9. I'm still looking at some other baseball games. There's some things that interest me tonight, but I want to dive into it a little bit more. New York's, the Yankees are at Colorado. What's going to happen there? You got all these mashers going up to Colorado where, with the thin air and the balls carrying.
It's going to be crazy, I think.
And one of the other more interesting games, too, to go along with that, we have Freddie Peralta versus Paul Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
7 total with Milwaukee playing Pittsburgh tonight, and 70% of the money's going on the under because you have two good pitchers. Paul Skeens is really good, but if he doesn't go deep in the game, that Pittsburgh bullpen sucks, man. They're awful.
Yeah.
And it's not like Milwaukee steals a lot of bases, so we'll see how good Paul Skeens is at holding his runners on because they're going to run no matter who they're facing. And another one I thought was interesting is San Francisco and Washington to go under the posted total of 8. But other than that, that's kind of where I'm at. The Knicks, the Sparks over. I love Cleveland-Detroit over. I love the Braves under. And I think the other top play I'm going to go with is the Orioles-Red Sox under 8.5 in game one. I do want to say this. If it's not Povich in game one, I may not be betting the under with Charlie Morton. So full disclosure if that gets switched. But right now it looks like it's Povich. So there you go. All right. Lots to get to today on the show. We're wrapping this thing up in a short period of time. But we're going to talk more about Sam Basayo coming up next. I don't know if you guys have seen what he's done. I'll give you the numbers. He hit 2 more home runs last night. Majestic bombs. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Majestic bombs.
And then we talked to Cordell American Woodland bombs. At 9:30. But up next, Sam Basayo. Call in 410-583-1057.
This one blasted towards right center field, and Basayo yet again. Solo shot to right center. And he is doing more than knocking on the door of the big leagues here today. My goodness. He's trying to kick the door down and run right through it.
There you go. That's Sam Basayo's second bomb last night. And watching this guy and, like, looking at his numbers, I should bring these back up real quick. But with Sam Basayo, he has been hitting home. He hasn't played a ton of games this year because he was out with an injury, came back and DH some. He's played some first base, played behind the plate. But when you look at what this guy has done thus far, I think you have to be impressed. Like we said earlier today, after he hit his first home run in the game yesterday, I tweeted something out that had stated that he hits a home run like 8.1% of the time or 8.7% of the time. It's just a ridiculous number. Now, granted, people do this all the time when they go, hey, this guy's on pace to hit 87 home runs. Is he going to hit 80? No, it's not going to happen. But if you looked at the pace and playing a, I don't know if he'll ever play a full 162-game season at the major league level, depending on what he becomes. Yeah. I mean, if you're a full-time DH, I could see it. But if you're going to be a catcher, it's just not going to happen. And the weird thing this year is, who is it? Cal Raleigh's trying to be that guy. He wants to play in all 162 games. And so far, so good for him. He's not catching all of them. He'd be the first catcher to play in all the games. I think Sal Perez is one of those guys that just, he's played like in 152 in a season or something. Being his backup catcher was the most boring job ever.
But that's a lot. That's a ton of games for a catcher.
Behind the plate. And he's not, he wasn't DHing either. Now he's amazing. A ton. So as you look at it, I don't know what Basayo's prospects are to come up this year, especially with the injury. The thought process, I think, was him to get more seasoning catching. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how much different catching from the major league level from AAA. We know the pitching gets better as you go up. But I think that bat plays at all levels. I do. I think
hope so.
He's going to be a special player.
I mean, obviously, I certainly hope so. I don't know. You got always cautious about guys because they are prospects.
Yep.
They just are. So.
Well, that's what I had a buddy send me something yesterday and he's talking about prospects and he goes, he's a Red Sox fan, so forgive him. But he sends me something. He goes, this is why you don't hold on to prospects. And he sends me Yoan Mercado. And I'm like, by the way, Yoan Mercado was a free agent signing that the Red Sox overpaid for, just like teams that pay for these Japanese pitchers. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to call him a prospect. I know he did come up in the farm system when he was younger. He just never panned out. But can I sit here and go, I can give you all the prospects that did? That were top-notch guys. Hey, Paul Skenes looks pretty good. That Corbin Carroll's not doing too bad, right? He's going to have a record season. Jackson Holliday looks pretty good. I mean, like, to send me anything like that is just stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, see, because this prospect didn't work out, that means yours won't. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, but I do agree, though, when it comes to prospects, you use them how you see fit. You can't covet and keep them all. And I know a lot of people feel that's what Mike Elias did, but we're going to find out how interesting this trade season is going to be. And then also, more importantly, what our offseason looks like, because we got to see what we're bringing in. If they do end up trading away some of these pieces, like Zach Eflin and Tom Sagano, makes him sound Tommy Sagano.
Tom Segura.
Yes. But if they do end up doing that, now you got to find new pitchers for next year, because I don't think you're just slotting in Cade Povich and Chase McDermott and saying everything is fine, because this is a team that, again, they've been to the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yeah.
This year they suck. Which one's the anomaly? Is it this year? Is it the previous 2 years? I mean, we'll find out. But I think there's enough talent here that it's not a rebuild situation. This window should be open for a long period of time. One other thing I wanted to bring up is we were talking about Sam Basayo, and I know a lot of people have crossed the path. I retweeted this, but the Orioles just sent out a release. Jim Henneman passed away. Here's what the Orioles said. The Orioles are heartbroken to share the news of the passing of longtime Baltimore sports writer and official scorer Jim Henneman. Henny's friendly demeanor, words of wisdom, and historical anecdotes will be dearly missed. We are all better for knowing him and are eternally grateful for his dedication to the Orioles for more than 8 decades. The Camden Yards press box will forever bear his name and be a welcoming place to remember and recognize his life and legacy. Just a great guy. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know him as well as some, but would see him anytime I was in the press box and being the official scorer. I know people always had questions after the game. What'd you see there? Was that an error? A hit? What'd you have? But I just always thought he was a nice guy. And it goes back to this past Saturday. We had Scott and Viv.
Yeah.
Yourself, myself. Yeah. Like, there's certain guys in this industry that are just amazing to everyone and treat everyone the same. And it's not like this. We're all competing against each other to a degree, you know, in certain aspects of it. The guys on other radio stations and whatnot. There's enough piece of that pie that everybody can be fine. And I think Jim was one of those guys, just like Vince Bagley, just like Garceau, just like Viv, that treats everybody with absolute kindness. So,
yeah, I agree.
Sad day. But getting back to the Orioles and what we talked about, do you think we see Basayo this year? If he's healthy?
Yes. I really do.
That would be my guess. Yep. But the other thing is, are you going to play this game now that your team's not playing well? where you call him up later in the year so he still has eligibility to be the rookie of the year next year because you get another first round
pick. I wonder about that because they've done it. You've seen it, you know. Teams do it. It's not uncommon.
I thought the Orioles were going to win three in a row, honestly. I thought Kobe Mayo would be up and or Jackson Holliday and we'd see him hit. But Colton Cowser deserved that damn award last year.
Yeah, he did. I just want to see him play. I want to see what this kid can do. I don't want to cheat him out of a potential award.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to give him a nice, you know, see a nice sample size of what he's capable of.
Yeah, I think the talent here, and especially bringing him up, when you look at the roster, I'm wondering, is it post-trade deadline if this team's falling apart? Are you moving some of the guys like O'Hearn and Mountcastle? Do we see him come up and DH some? Like when I was talking to other people about what the Orioles can do off-season, trade deadline, whatever, I mentioned one guy brought up Kyle Schwarber. You have to find the right piece for this team. Because I think you're going to want a right-handed vet power bat, right?
Yes, for that's sure. We've been talking about this for a long time. You need exactly that. You need a right-handed veteran bat, period, and a power bat. You need a power bat for that fence, yeah.
So the weird thing is you have maybe first base, maybe center field, maybe a corner outfield spot open to find that. Because it hasn't looked like it's Tyler O'Neill, who they signed in the offseason. It hasn't looked like Kobe Mayo, who got a cup of coffee, but we don't know. I mean, he's a young player.
Yeah.
So where do you find that in the offseason or even at the trade deadline? This is one trade deadline that I wouldn't be surprised if the Orioles added and traded pieces away. You get what I'm saying? I'm talking about adding, getting a pitcher under contract and giving up some prospects now to make sure you have them in the fold next year, i.e. Trevor Rogers, but better than Trevor Rogers. I think you might see something like that this year, depending on who's in the race and who's not. So 410-583-1057. All right, we're going to get to the encore. What we learned, that's coming up later. But up next, we talk to Cordell Woodland, get his thoughts on the Birds. That's coming up right here on 105.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris. It's a Big Bad Morning Show. We welcome in a guest, friend of the program, of course, co-worker, Cordell Woodland's joining us. Cordell, what's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Not much. We were just talking about a lot of different things, Orioles. Can I ask you about Basayo? Two bombs last night. Do you think we see him this year? And if so, when?
I mean, the way that the season's going, I think everything's on the table. If it continues to turn this way, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, maybe he's brought up here a little earlier than expected. But then again, you never really know. I mean, you go back through history with this regime when it's time to call guys up and how they go about doing it. They take their time and they usually do it on their own timeline and not when we're ready for it. So it wouldn't surprise me if this is something that we have to wait until like late summer to see, but also wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they decide to do something out of the box and maybe do a call back to what happened with Manny a little bit. Granted, Basayo is already in Triple A, so it's not necessarily the same thing, but maybe giving this guy a call up sooner than expected. So I'm curious to see what happens, but he's definitely heating up right now with the two bombs yesterday. So, you know, that'll get his name circulating a little bit, and I'm sure he's on their radar. And when you look at Adley struggles, Sanchez on the IL, they don't have a lot of options right now behind Adley, who we're hoping is on his way out of his long-time slump.
One of the discussions we had earlier, and this has been commonly discussed among, I don't know, fans, possibility of Cedric being a trade piece. And some people like, you know, send him to a contender, get something back, give him a chance to win a ring since the season's done and all this. How do you feel about parting ways with, you know, one of my favorite players for sure?
Oh, I would hate it. You know, it would be a huge blow to the team. I mean, it's almost similar, if not identical, to when they traded Trey Mancini. Granted, they were in a different spot, or at least we thought they were, but in terms of impacting the clubhouse, voice from the clubhouse, longevity with the team, the attachment to the fans, I mean, Sid, he checks all of those boxes. So personally, yeah, I would hate it, but I would understand it, and I don't think he'd be alone. You know, this team trends the way that they're going. A lot of people could move. Sagano, Eflin, Mountcastle. We mentioned Mullins. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Felix Batista, I'm not really ready to go there, but mm-hmm. that's probably more of the extreme route that it wouldn't shock me either. I don't know what type of sale they would do if it continues to go this way, but definitely Cedric Mullins, his name is unfortunately at the top of that list.
Yeah, man, that's we were talking about that too. Like, so if they do make those moves and trade some starting pitching, they better be super busy in the offseason signing starting pitchers, because right now, as it looks, depending on what Kyle Bradish looks like coming back, if Grayson pitches this year, if he has a surgery and he doesn't even pitch next year, Povich, Chase McDermott, and then what up, Kramer? Is that the group you want to go back into the season with? I almost feel like you got to sign two guys in the offseason at a minimum.
Yeah, that's where I'm curious to see. Even if they are sellers at the deadline, what type of sellers are they? Because, you know, 2 years ago when they won 100 games, people were saying that they were ahead of schedule. And you look now, they're arguably behind schedule right now. They're clearly behind schedule. And I think a heavy sale would put them even more behind schedule. So I am curious to see how they approach the deadline, even if they are, quote unquote, sellers around that time. How much are they really going to give away? You know, is like I said, Batista's on the extreme side for me. I'm not parting ways with them, but I'm curious to see what their mindset is if they get to the trade deadline and they're still 7-8 games back from fourth place in the division. Like, what type of sale are we looking at? But I do think it'll be important to make sure that they don't just completely punt on their future. And look, what's the future of Michael Elias here? Like, I'm curious to see how much upper management will even allow him to do, considering his future is still unknown.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Last year, this time, the New York Mets were below .500. They were 11 games below .500, 22-33. They ended up going to the playoffs, 89-73. Does that give you any hope for the Orioles kind of making any kind of run now?
I mean, as bad as they've been, I haven't completely wiped away the possibility of them turning it around. I mean, it's slim. Yeah. It is slim. But I haven't just completely shut the door on that. Me and Ben were talking about it on our show last night, and we both kind of agreed that we have seen glimpses here recently, not just the game 2 days ago where they had the comeback victory, but really a lot of you look through that Brewer series. I mean, they were in a lot of those games. They fought at times where recently they haven't necessarily been fighting. They hit well with runners in scoring position for the second straight series. I mean, there were some good things going on. So I am seeing glimpses of that team that we expected to see, maybe not exclusively that team, but glimpses of a good team, a competitive team has popped up, but they just haven't been able to do it consistently enough and obviously haven't been able to show it enough to actually have it turn into some wins here. But they would have to get on a serious roll. They'd have to get on a serious roll for that to happen. And I just haven't seen this team do anything consistently well long enough for me to feel like that's going to happen anytime soon. But definitely, it's still a possibility.
Let me stop talking about sad stuff with Cordell Woodland. Let's get your take on some other things. What about the NBA playoffs? What are your thoughts so far? Knicks bounce back tonight. Surprised at all that the Thunder took a 2-0 lead, and they've done it in dominant fashion?
Well, I'm not surprised at all about what the Thunder are doing. I just don't think there's anybody that can keep up with them. I mean, you look at their point differential throughout the regular season. It's carried over into the postseason, and it usually doesn't work that way. But they are just a team. You go and take a bathroom break, and they're up four, and you come back, all of a sudden it's 16-point lead. Like, they go on runs quicker than anybody else in the league, and they match that with obviously having the best defense in the league. They're the deepest team in the league. I mean, they're a nightmare to have to play against. I think this series could easily be a sweep or a gentleman sweep at best. The Knicks-Pacers one, I mean, I think the Knicks are the better team, but it's just something about the Pacers, and I think...
Oh, we lose him? Well, yep. All right, he gone. We lost him.
Huh.
He was just getting ready to tell you what was going to happen with the Knicks.
I know.
Stay tuned to the next episode. Is that what happened? We're sorry, Matt Damon. We can't get you on. What happened there? All right, we lost Cordell. Ed, but I like a lot of the things he's saying, though, even regarding the Orioles. You brought up earlier, this isn't me trying to tell you that they're going to get back in the race, but we've seen stranger things happen. You mentioned the Mets earlier when they were 11 games out by this time.
This time last year, yeah. 11 games under 500.
The question I'm trying to think what their pitching looked like last year, because it was just kind of pieced together, wasn't it? It was a lot of like just, hey, this guy, that. Yeah. Like some prospects that they had that they didn't expect to be like great, but they're like these David Peterson types that come out and who's it, Tyler McGill or what? Like they have these guys that just keep them in games. I don't think they're anything special.
No.
But their ERAs are
low. Especially because you're used to such dominant pitching from the Mets.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's a little unusual because they've had so many dominant pitches in recent memory. Not the case right now, but they're still winning.
What about Juan Soto? You, they dropped him in the order. So you want to get Cordell back to finish his point? Here we go. We got Cordell to finish his point. What's up, man?
Yeah, my bad. I'm sitting here talking to myself.
I bet it was a good conversation, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what was the last part you guys heard, but basically, yeah, I think the Knicks are a bad matchup, or the Pacers are a bad matchup for the Knicks. I could see it going 7, but I just think with the Pacers going 10 deep in their pace, they're going to run the Knicks through the ground, and I think it sets up the best possible matchup for the finals with the Pacers and the Thunder, where you get the best offense versus the best defense, two of the probably the two deepest teams in the league. So I'm curious to see that. But the Thunder are head and shoulders better than everybody.
Everybody. Yes, I agree with that. But bite your tongue about the Knicks Pacers.
Yeah, come on, man. Ed's sitting right here. It's like you're talking about the guy in front of him. Remember when you were talking in front of a kid and you'd have to spell out whatever word you were like?
Yeah.
Right. We're going to go get I-C-E.
Oh, I do that now.
Yeah. You know what worries me, Cole, about the series? Like you mentioned, the Pacers, they're deep. The Knicks coach, Thibodeau, he makes them play like 48 minutes, this guy. Nobody gets a break, ever. So
it's almost like he thinks he's got two of everyone. Like, Jalen, get in there for Jalen.
Yeah.
No, he's just staying in.
Just staying there. Seriously, they play like 44 minutes each. It's crazy.
I mean, he's so stubborn. That's my thing with Tibbs, man. Tibbs is actually a good coach. I like Tibbs. I really do. I think he's a really good motivator. He gets his guys ready to play. I think he's actually come around on even understanding his players a little more than he did earlier in his career. But it's just mind-blowing to me, especially with the average pace of today's game, that he still feels like he can just run his starters through the ground. And you get into the playoffs, it's all about matchups. And you had to know coming into this series what the Pacers want to do. And the Knicks can play that style. They can. They can play I really don't like the Knicks, but to give the Knicks credit, they do a really good job of matching styles. They
are versatile. That's fine.
I mean, hey, it's a lot. Join the club. You know. But you know, for both teams, hopefully the future is bright. Hopefully the Commanders is a little brighter. But yeah, I mean, the Knicks are good enough, but. You saw it in the game one. I think fatigue really set in, and then you have overtime.
That's what happened. I think these guys just exhausted by the time you get to overtime. Like, come on, I've already played a full game.
That's a lot to ask. But I thought Halliburton had arguably the celebration of the year, even with it being a remake. Mm-hmm. The only thing that stops it from being possibly the best
that it wasn't a three
celebration of all time is that it wasn't the game winner.
Yeah.
I liked his dad at the bar because he's not allowed at the games anymore, just like holding up the choking sign.
I'm wondering if they'll change that after the way he's been going, but we'll see.
I can't wait for them to get nose to nose with Brunson. Hey, Cordell, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate your time. Hope you have a great holiday, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Same to you guys.
Appreciate all right, it. We got to step out. Encore, what we learned. We got a caller who wants to talk to Ed. We'll get to all that and more right here on The Fan. When we were in New Orleans, we did that thing where it's like we try to ruin someone's Uber score by being disgusting in the car, like sexual talk and like everything was gay, this or that. In fact, maybe I'll tell this story. We came out of a steak joint, the whole group, and everybody was trying to get everybody's Uber score messed up. So when you get in the car, it's like everything out of someone's mouth is just something homoerotic. Like it's nice. Just off the charts. So we get in with this old Creole lady and she's driving and the guys are doing it. And I went, guys, cut it out, man. And you know how this is going to end right away. This lady's a nice woman. She's driving us around, and all you guys can talk about is gay sex. And she goes, thank you, honey. I said, let's talk about dinner. I haven't had that much meat in my mouth since my uncle went to... And she's like, get out! Get out! It's like I was... She was my biggest fan in the moment, and it went, woo!
Did she throw you out?
She, I mean, we were right near our stop, and she's like, get out! Get out! So good, man. That's your encore.
Encore brought to you by Lion's Den, of course. Jeremy and I are going to go up there now and get him all geared up for his trip to Ireland.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to go through customs and all of a sudden, what's this?
I got news for you. I'm flying down with a bunch of stuff today. I don't care.
All right, well, we got to get to what we learned.
I'll tell you what I learned. I'm right about the WNBA teams. I'm going to throw these names out there quickly for people. The Dream, the Sky, the Sun, the Fever, the Liberty, the Mystics, the Wings, Valkyrie's best name in the league, Aces, Sparks, Lynx, Mercury, Storm. What's with all the weather? Seriously. All this Sun, Sky, Storm. Like, come on. Stupid.
Well, Ed, we weren't able to get to the caller, but he just wanted to thank you and say you're an asset to Baltimore. And I'm so sorry, man. We're backed up here. No time left.
Thank you, caller. Whoever you, I appreciate the
thank
kind
you,
words. Thank you,
cousin Norris. All right, a couple of things here. I got my wife is a sex object. Every time I ask for sex, she objects. It's weird that pirates decided to call it booty instead of booby, since they like treasure chests. Why can't you catch a Muslim during Ramadan? Because they fast.
That's funny.
Do you know did you know fries weren't originally made in France? Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, they were first cooked in Greece. I took my driver's test and scored 8 out of 10. The other two jumped out of the way. I am Buzz Aldrin, second man to step on the moon. Kneel before me.
Oh, God.
And I'll give you one more here. A woman breaks up with a man with a small penis. His friends were amazed he didn't seem hurt or fazed by the breakup. He said, it's okay. I wasn't that into her.
I thought he wasn't hurt because it was a small penis. She broke him with a small penis. Didn't hurt.
Bang, bang, bang. Gone. All right. Bob Haney's coming up next, guys. I'll see you guys in almost 2 weeks. Ed, have fun, man.
Two weeks.
I feel like Total Recall. Bob Haney's coming up next, guys. Enjoy your holiday weekend.